Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our sermon series called Sabbatical Wisdom. And again, in this sermon series, what I'm attempting to do is to share with all of you a couple of the most life-changing things that God has been doing in me since my sabbatical, with the hope being that my experiences, how God, in a sense, is transforming me, can also begin to help many of you better live into the life that God has created you for. And of course, to do this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience and then kind of connect the dots for all of you so you can begin to see it in your own life. So, as many of you already know, for the last 16 years, I have had the honor and privilege of serving two different congregations as their senior minister. The first being New Hope Christian Church in Oklahoma City, where I served for 5 amazing years. Absolutely loved those people, and we did some amazing things while I was there. And then the second being this church, right? First Christian Church, Great Bend. I've been here for 10 and a half amazing and wonderful years, and hope to be here for many more years. That is, if you guys decide not to fire me. Come on now. You're not supposed to laugh at that. I don't know. And yet, for our purposes this morning, the part of this job that I would really like to bring to light for all of you are some of the spoken and unspoken expectations that many church members have when it comes to their ministers. Because the truth is, what often is expected of ministers, especially senior ministers, when it comes to anything that has to do with the church, is that senior ministers are basically expected to become all things to all people. That's right. In a sense, ministers are expected to become all things to all people. If you don't believe me, talk to Pastor Bill. I'm sure he'd be happy to share all of that information with you as well. It's just a part of the job. Or just let me give you a picture of some of the things that I'm required to do around here. So, the first and biggest expectation that has been placed on me as your senior minister is it's my job to put in the necessary time and energy to be a good preacher so that you'll want to show up on Sunday morning, right? And even more than that, so you can take something with you, that God can use me to give you something to go out and live into your best life, which, by the way, is something I take very seriously. I spend anywhere from 20 to 25 hours a week on sermon prep alone. On top of that, I'm expected to manage and oversee all the employees of the church, making sure that they're not only doing their job, but also have everything they need to do their jobs well and are happy. And if there's ever an issue with the staff, it's also my job to do whatever needs to be done to resolve those issues in a way that doesn't cause more damage to the church. And if there ever comes a point where someone retires or quits, or we have to let someone go, God forbid, it's my job to find and hire the right candidates for those positions. On top of that, I'm expected to be a fundraiser or the person who oversees and runs the annual stewardship campaign to make sure we continue to have all the money and resources that we need to do this well. Along with when something big comes up, like a generational hailstorm, you guys remember that fun thing, right? Or when we're doing so well that we have to add space in the refuge, to a certain extent, I'm the one expected to go about organizing our people so that we can raise the money to provide for those needs. Then when it comes to leadership, the expectation is I'm going to be the guy that's out in front, not only guiding and directing us regarding where God is calling us to be, but it's also a part of my responsibility to help this congregation find and then get people into the proper leadership roles as the chair of the nominating committee. And then there's funerals and weddings. When those happen, you're basically expected, no matter what's going on, you shut your stuff down and do what needs to be done to do that well. And then on top of all of that, when anyone is hurting or suffering or just needs someone to talk to, I'm the one who needs to be available. I'm the one who is expected to show up. And what that looks like for me are not just people dropping by to have conversations during the week to get some advice, but it's phone calls and text. And these phone calls and texts don't just happen during, you know, my office hours. They happen all the time. Or basically what I'm telling you guys is I'm on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where I could get a call at any moment and have to drop everything and make a drive to Hayes, go to Wichita, and on some occasions I'll have to drive to Kansas City. And all because these are just some of the many expectations that this church has when it comes to their senior minister. But what you guys need to know about me when it comes to all those expectations is I didn't just share all of that with you to gripe and complain about my job. Because truth is, the reason I shared all of that with you is because as your minister, I really do want to be the guy that you are able to call for whatever it is that you need. Or I really do like the research and wrestling and writing that I get to do in an attempt to preach good sermons. I like Sunday mornings, where I get to play a big part in helping all of you worship and connect with God in life-transforming ways. When it comes to leadership, even though I don't think this is my strong suit, I like trying to help us as a congregation figure out what God is calling us to do and then getting people involved so they can help us go out and do these things. I like being the one who helps all of you begin to see that giving really is better than receiving and how you can be a part of something bigger than yourselves if you give to the church for the sake of the kingdom. When it comes to funerals, I consider it to be nothing but an honor and a privilege to get to be the one who helps us celebrate and remember the life of one of our church family members. And yet the thing I enjoy the most, the thing that I love to do, is being there for my people. Or acting as God's agent, showing up to celebrate when your lives are good, and then being there when life gets really, really hard. And even when it comes to those worst case scenarios, which most people run from, they want nothing to do with, that's when I come alive. Because that's a part of what God called me to do, to show up into those dark places and help people walk through the darkest moments of their lives. Or again, as a minister who takes my call and my work very seriously, there is nothing I like better than being what you guys need me to be. Or what I love is being all things to all people. Right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing with that. What God has been teaching me over the last couple of years that was really brought home to me before sabbatical began, but really during sabbatical, is that as much as I want to be all things to all people, as much as I want to do and be what you guys need me to do and be all the time, the truth is, and this is very hard for me to say, I can't. Emotionally, physically, mentally, I just don't have the ability, but not because of lack of effort or because I don't want to. No, the truth is, not only is it impossible given our continued growth, and what you guys need to keep in mind is when I arrived, we were averaging right at 160. And what that looks like is if you have 160, that means you're probably serving 350 people because not everybody comes every single week, right? We're now averaging in the neighborhood of 320 and then 350, and we're also seeing 400 on occasion, which means we're actually serving anywhere from 600 to 750 people a week. That's just how the church world works. So for me, in the face of all the things that I used to do and was able to keep up with, that's just not something that is physically possible for me to do anymore. But most importantly, what God showed me during my sabbatical is being all things to all people is not what God wants for me or anybody else for that matter. Or when God created every single one of us, he really didn't create us to be all things to all people, but instead created us with a specific purpose, a specific calling to go out and do that thing, right? Then learning to trust God and others with the rest. And the place where God really began to give me some clarity on this is when I began pondering and wrestling with the meaning of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, which says this. Just as one body, though many, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And so what happened to me is I began to delve into this amazing scripture text, by the way, is that for some reason, and I think the reason was God, but I'll let you guys decide that, what I pictured in my mind's eye as I was walking through all of that was a big toe. That's right. What I pictured in my mind's eye was a big toe. And what made this big toe so interesting is that in an attempt to be more than just a big toe, or in an attempt to be all things to its body, this toe detached itself from the foot, made its way up the body to the ear where it attached itself in an effort to help the body to hear better. And yes, I know how crazy that sounds. And no, I was not on drugs or hallucinating at the point when I was seeing this, even though I was in Colorado. All right, I want to put that out there. Maybe it was a contact high. Maybe I walked by someone and then started having a loose. No, ultimately what I think God was doing here was he was kind of giving me this image to help me see very, very clear that not only did God not call me to be all things to all people, but most importantly, he showed me that when I try to do that, even with the best of intentions, what I'm ultimately doing is causing harm to the body. Because just like with that strange big toe, if I give myself to doing those things that are not mine to do, not only is the body going to suffer, I mean, do you guys know how hard it is to walk without a big toe? It doesn't sound like that big a deal, but it's a huge deal. It would mess with you. But what I'm also going to end up doing is causing a whole lot of trouble for those other parts of the body that are just trying to do their job but can't because I'm getting in the way. Or imagine a big toe attached to your ear. It just doesn't work. Which for me ultimately means that if I really do want to live out God's will for my life, or if I really do want to play my part in helping the body of Christ to thrive and do great things, then what that looks like is me getting past my people-pleasing demeanor, where I can continue to try to be all things to all people and simply give myself to doing the things that God needs me to do, learning to trust others with the rest. Or maybe another way to think about this same idea is to think about it in terms of the phrase, good is the enemy of the great. Good is the enemy of the great. In that what I believe God is calling me to do to play my part is not just to be good or mediocre at a whole bunch of things as I try to be all things to all people, because that's what happens when you try to be all things to all people. But instead, God is calling me to be great at those things that he created me for. And all because not only is that what's best for me, but it's actually what's best for the entire body of Christ. And yet, the reason I walk you through all of that is not just to let you guys know that I'm going to be making some changes. So you guys need to know that changes are going to be made and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted you guys to know the reason behind it and why we're going to be making some of those changes. But the most important reason I shared that with all of you this morning is because I am pretty sure I am not the only person who has this problem. That's right. I think there's a whole lot of people who are dealing with trying to do and to be more than what God has called them to do. In fact, I would argue, given that we all live in a world where we're being pulled in 1,000 different directions by all sorts of people and life circumstances, that this is something we all battle with from time to time. Or I'm sure that many of you, as I was walking through all of my expectations that I live with, you started to think about your own life and all the expectations that you're currently living with. Or how many of you guys know this place? How many of you know what it's like to be pulled in 1,000 different directions? How many of you feel that this is your life right now at this very moment? Anybody? Yeah, I think it's just there. It's embedded in who we are to a certain extent. But now that you're starting to see that this is not just my issue, but something that many of us deal with, I think what we need to be doing in response to that is making peace with the fact that God didn't call any of us to be all things to all people, but simply created us to be us. And practically speaking, what that looks like is, first of all, you're going to have to figure out what it is that God wants you to do, right? You're going to have to discern what that looks like. What are the things that God are calling you to do? And I think most people already have a sense of whatever that is. But then once we get that figured out, the hardest part of all of this, at least for me, is then we need to get a whole lot better at saying no to those things that are not ours to do. And yet, not because those things don't matter or aren't worthwhile. No, the reason we need to get really good at saying no is because to play our part in helping the body of Christ to thrive, learning to say no to all those other things ultimately allows us to say yes to what God needs us to do. Or, if God created you to be a big toe, then give yourself to being the best big toe you can be. If God created you to be an eye, then give yourself to being the best eye you can be. If God created you to be a heart, then do your job. Don't get caught up in everything else. Just be a heart. Or to really make this simple, stay in your lane, people. Stay in your lane. Quit trying to be something that you're not or doing something that's not yours to do and simply stay in your lane. Because if you'll do that, not only will you thrive in amazing ways, but most importantly, that's what's going to help the body of Christ in the world thrive and do much bigger and more beautiful things. Ultimately helping all of us to live into the life that is truly life, but more importantly, that's how we play our part in bringing heaven to earth in all that we do. That's how we play our part in joining with God to help cause his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And even more than that, that's how we get rid of that weight, that guilt that we all carry around with us as we try to do and be all things to all people. Let us pray. Father, I am so grateful for what you continue to do in my life since sabbatical. I'm so grateful for all the transformation that is happening in my lives and seeing what I am seeing now. But also, Lord, I'm grateful that I get an opportunity to share what you're doing in me, because this is something we all deal with. This is something we all, some of us, just are overwhelmed with it all the time. And so today, oh Lord, help us to clearly understand that we're not being called to be all things to all people, but we're being called to do what you created us to do, and do that great. Do that to the best of our ability, all the while learning to say no to everything else. So Lord, give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the know-how to truly lean into being the people you have created us to be so that we can play a much bigger role in causing your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.